Hello, this is Terry, and this is the Wednesday night conference call.
Hi, Terry.
Wynn will be here in a minute, and then we've got questions. He's been going through the questions so that he'll be ready to ask them during the call. And on Wednesday nights, for those people that are new, what we do is we ask questions that people have submitted, and he gives preference to people that haven't asked questions and new people. So, we are in Los Angeles. Looks like they're going to be getting rain here. I know.
Yay.
That
you mean flood?
No.
You mean flood, Teresa?
I hope not, flood.
Probably not, too.
Welcome, all you people that have just joined us. Please state your name and location if you can get a word in edgeways.
When is Wynn showing up?
Everybody have their sandbag out. I heard in the news.
Yeah. Is that Lucy?
Yes, that's Lucy from Orlando. Sunshine State.
Lucy, how come you're never a greeter? Did you turn in an application to be a greeter?
No, you know what happened? After a few minutes, my brain just gets mushy, and my mind and my speaking, they don't get along, so...
you tried it, and you had a problem with mushy brain, right?
Right.
I see. Okay. Well, that never held Terry back.
Thank you anyway.
Hey.
Terry. Uh-oh. I better watch what I'm saying. I think one of the side effects of lifting your vibrations is going through mushy brains, which even I go through, okay? So it's okay. It's a good sign. It's probably an ascension symptom. And did I see Suzanne Reed on the line?
Yeah, when?
Are you still in Sedona?
No, I just got back on Monday night. I can't believe it. It was beautiful. We stayed where you suggested. I can't get back down on Earth. I'm floating.
Suzanne was coming to Sedona, and she wanted to meet us, but we were not in Sedona. We were in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry, are you going to stay up here? Terry, you want to stay here? People are walking around downstairs, you know. Vaughn is gone.
But thank you, Wynn, for acknowledging. We went to Jerome also, which was funky.
Oh, I think I suggested Jerome, didn't I?
You didn't, but I went, and it was amazing. It was just very... excellent vacation for my husband and I, so thank
Prescott.
You.
Prescott?
Yeah.
Didn't go as far as Prescott.
Are you familiar with Prescott?
I am not.
I've read about it, but I've never been there.
I like Prescott, but Prescott is just more like a regular, small, picturesque city, whereas Sedona and Jerome are extraordinary, picturesque cities.
Amen to that.
No, why don't I stay up here? Yeah, that way. Okay. Just a second. I'm seeing if we got some last-minute questions. Let's see. Deb said she really enjoyed the song I wrote and played on Monday, and it was a big deal playing my song, and let me see here. Okay, we'll get some more. We have more questions that have come in. Let's let Terry get situated. We're still urban gypsies. We are in Los Angeles at Vaughn's house, okay? Just a second. Okay, we got people muted, and let me wait till Terry centers herself. Just a moment. Do I hear Terry? I think Hives is back. Hives, are you on the line?
I have not seen him. When?
Okay. Good question from Lucas.
Terry, almost ready.
You're almost ready, Terry?
Yeah, I'm ready. As ready as I'll ever be.
I should say, you're not ready, are you? Good, we're ready to go.
Okay.
If you tell me you're ready, I get worried.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Ready to record?
Let's see. Yeah, go ahead.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 26th. 2014, Winfrey and Terry Brown in North Hollywood, California, in the greater Los Angeles area. And this is our Wednesday call when we are asking questions that you guys submit. And we have a bunch of great questions tonight. And in case you haven't noticed, our world is really changing quickly. And I should mention that if you have not read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, even if you know who David Wilcock is, you've paid attention to his work recently, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is a completely other view of what was coming through David when I ran into him originally in the year 2000. And it is full of, half the book is his channelings, which the case is made, an extremely good case, was from the same source as Edgar Cayce. And one of the things about the book is that in the year 2000, the world still had some illusions that things were going along in a regular way. But the book made many, many, many predictions about what would be happening. And that if you read it, you'll see that our present world reflects a lot of what was in the book. And of course, people are asking questions about that. We're getting questions all the time. And I have a feeling that if you read the book, not only you'll get some of your questions answered, and also a little comfort. But one thing I can tell you, if you're looking for comfort and you're looking for security, you really have to think out of the box. because, you know, there was a time when we thought that we had governments and we had parents and people looking over our shoulders, and it's breaking down, particularly with governments. And no matter what you think, they're not probably looking out for your best interests. And whatever they say, whatever politicians say, I would not rely on it. And some of you probably paid attention and noticed when politicians are running for office, they say all kinds of things. And once they're in office, almost nothing of what they said when they were running holds true. So, and there's a lot more behind the scenes that is going on that you're not going to know about if you're watching television or reading newspapers. It's just, you're not going to find out about it. You have to look for it. And we don't emphasize that, but nonetheless, it's all there on the internet. And be open-minded, because in some way or another, it's important to be prepared right now. Be prepared for anything. You know, best-case scenarios, worst-case scenarios. And on that note, Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, do you hear a lot of background noise from me?
No.
No? Okay. Because people are...
There's some. It's like...
A little bit
of static.
Well, there's a little slamming of refrigerators downstairs, okay? But I don't think it's picking up. And we are in separate rooms at Vaughn's house in North Hollywood, where we're staying. And, okay, let me just see here. I'm just posting some of the questions for today. Just a moment. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 26th February 2014. And we are delighted to be able to connect with each and every person here that wishes connection. You may not realize that we are here. We have a very high frequency, and so we do not have a lot of the elements of the Earth frequencies. So it's hard to be place at the right frequency to see us. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Cecil in Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. And this is an interesting question. And I don't know. I believe in the Mormon religion, they talk about the element he coming from a planet called Kolob. Now, that's me talking. And we usually don't like to go into any religion and try to verify what's true and what's not true in that religion. So our sources can deal with this or decline this if they feel that's the best thing to do. But Cecil's question is, do the Ra group or the Elohim group live on a planet? If so, how far from Earth are they? Do either one live near a planet called Kolob? K-O-L-O-B. Thank you.
Thank you. We work with planet, with the individuals on a planet called Kolob. And so some may feel that we are from Kolob. However, we are not. We are in a realm that is beyond duality. We are in a realm that is a very high frequency, and we do not live in bodies on a planet. We have some of our group that has left to take bodies on the planet in Kolob, and they can connect with us. Some of them can connect easily, as they are used to the frequencies and have not been that long in their density. That is our answer.
And Cecil asked, how far is Kolob from here?
Kolob is a far away. Kolob, if you talk about it in terms of your Earth dimension, is light years away. It is all a matter of orientation.
So could we say that Kolob is a very highly evolved planet?
Yes, it is, in that there is a strong Elohim influence there. You see this influence even in the Mormon religion. On Earth, we see individuals who are caring for other individuals within their group that are providing for more than just their own family, that are providing for the family's future and are caring for others in their community.
Thank you. This is a question from Mark Wales, and he asked a question last week about having addictive patterns and how to get through them. And this week she's asked another question. I did not ask for help with my addiction until I had lost everything. In the process, I became a liar and a thief. This is what I want to make a comment. And Mark, I want you to know I give you a lot of credit for being able to look at yourself so honestly and say that. Most people wouldn't do it. And to me, that means you've taken a huge, huge, huge step in getting above those traits. And going back, almost a year into sobriety, I am finding these characteristics difficult to rid of. It seems as if my instincts are now to lie, cheat, and steal. I pinch myself, and I recite the words of Jesus, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are these instincts mine, or have I opened myself up to an attachment to other negative entities that are causing this? How do I change? Can you help me?
Thank you. Once one has taken a shortcut, such as lying or cheating, and has ingrained it into their matrix pattern, it is tempting to be able to step back into that. There is noise on the line. It is an airplane going over. Once one has adapted and taken the shortcut of lying and cheating, it makes a pathway in the neurons in the body. And when one is under pressure, one tends to see that the shortcut pops up and becomes a potential of something that one can take quickly, as it is the easiest way on the surface. It seems like the easiest way to get through. Once this is ingrained, even if it is in this life or in, even in a past life, and it gets triggered in this life, it can be there waiting for the person to step into the shortcut, the easy way out, the easy way through. The more that you dramatize the cheating and the lying, the more of a pathway it makes, and the farther ingrained it becomes. When one follows the shortcut pathway with great emotion, when emotion is present, it makes an even greater impression upon the neurological pathways of the body. To come through this and to take the long way around can be difficult, and one has to bring themselves up and set themselves down and think their way through, take over manually instead of automatically, to find the way through and to reprogram the neurons. Each time you step to the side and do not lie and do not cheat, you are rebuilding the pathways which will take you to ethical behavior. It is difficult because of the broken down pathways to reestablish the longer pathways. But it is well worth doing, because as you have found out, the shortcuts in the long run do more damage than dealing with one's propensity to take the shortcut and to retrain oneself in the longer way to deal with things.
If one was engaging in patterns like that, what impact would that have on their future lifetimes?
It will make it more difficult to survive in the long run, as when those pathways get triggered, they, whether it is this life or a future life, they will confuse the soul, and the individual may rely upon the shortcut when under stress and under tension.
Thank you. Next question. Just a moment. This is from Lucas in London, UK. How should we prepare ourselves to make sure that when we ask for help or guidance, we always connect with high vibration sources coming from the light?
One of them is to follow ethical behavior, to set aside negativity, to park it, to put it, say, to archive it, and to work one's way around it. When one is able to come from their own ethical center, then they can stay out of trouble more easily. Was there another part to that question?
Just how do we connect with high vibration? How can we always connect with high vibration sources coming from the light?
One must be careful to not falsely, according to how they feel, to plaster over their emotions sweet feelings. One should look at their feelings honestly, and if they find themselves hating something and having some rough emotions, try not to plaster love over the top of it, because this makes a problem, an opposition of one thing that's opposed by the other, and that hangs in time and is very difficult to dispense with. So to honestly admit your emotions, but do not act upon them, observe them. If you find yourself hating something you don't wish to hate, you will move past the hate. You will move through the hate. Hate is not forever. It is a moving sea of different emotions that you have to draw on. On the other side of hate and negative emotions, when you get to the other side, there are real, true, positive emotions. And you do not need to think about them to make them happen, as they will be totally natural and joyful.
You know, I think I should say we've asked this before, and something came up about in a lot of New Age people talk about your guides. And when we asked about that, it was indicated that because you hear voices in your head, which you could call your guides, does not necessarily mean they're positive or they're wise. Could be deceased people that you had connections with who mean well, but they may not be wise enough to give you the guidance you need. So it always comes down to your own self and your own discernment. And if you notice one of the aspects of the information that comes through our sources is very rarely do they tell someone what to do, even when you ask, because that's part of your job, learning how to make decisions. And if someone was making your decisions for you, you're missing out on one of the most important aspects of your growth in this realm. And would you like to make any comment on that?
I'm out of the channeling right now. Vaughn came in the room to get something, and me being out of the channeling, I don't even know what the question was.
Is he still in the room?
He left.
Okay, let's bring in the light again, okay?
Okay, yes.
Are you sure he's not going to come back in again?
Oh.
Well, you want me to check with him? He knows that's a no-no. I hear the door opening. I think he's leaving. Sorry for this interruption. This is, okay, let me just call back the light, okay?
All right.
Father, Mother God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted. See ourselves in the flow of energy coming from source through the universe, through our bodies, and into the earth. Right now, we ask for a group energy connection with all of us present. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an, and we are connected again.
So the last comment I made was just talking about Lucas's question about when we ask for help or guidance that we connect with high vibration sources. And I had made the comment that was briefly touched on in a previous question, not tonight, but some other time, about what's called guides. And that sometimes people make a relationship with voices they hear, which they call their guides, and it was indicated that those guides may not necessarily be wiser than the person that is receiving the voices, and perhaps could even be negative. And I just asked for a comment on that. Thank you.
Yes. We see that there are all manner of guides with all manner of different things to offer. There are angelic guides that can offer you love, such as the one that Carla has been dealing with. And they offer love, but they are not prepared to offer words of wisdom concerning love affairs and economics and other issues. So there are all levels of guides. There are relatives that have come back to guide their children and their grandchildren. And sometimes these are very wise and helpful. We name one circumstance where a girl named Debbie was driving along the 10 freeway, and the guide said, pass the truck in front of you and pull off the highway. And she did it. And as she pulled off the highway, the truck in front of the truck she had passed blew a tire, and there was a huge wreck. So there are protective guides. And so the recommendation is that if you have a guide that is speaking with you, get to know that guide. Get to know how they interact with you, and if they are like an angel giving you love, unconditional love in circumstances, but is not giving you counseling and other things in your life, or if it is a past relative that has stuck around to make sure that your children grow up well and give some advice that can be followed. We, as the Elohim and the Ra group, do not offer ourselves as God. We offer assistance, but the assistance is within our knowledge, unconditional love, grace, the ability to unstick stuck situations when a person asks, and if it is for the highest good. We do not look at ourselves as God. We look at ourselves as brothers and sisters, your big brothers and sisters in the higher realm. Even us are not infallible in our advice, as you may not wish to follow our advice, but may wish to follow other advice that you feel that you must follow. What your path is, whatever it is, it is okay, and you will be learning from it, and you will be learning what works and what does not work.
Thank you. And this is a good question to follow that comment. This is from Jackie in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. I had a parting of ways with a spiritual teacher, and the experience has left me depressed, confused, and grief-stricken. It is a slow healing process, and I want to have a better understanding of the reason it happened. Was he the right guru for me, and I failed his spiritual test? Or did we part ways because he was not the best teacher for me? What is your feeling towards gurus in this day and age when so many are around and accessible due to the internet? Thank you.
One of the biggest lessons in a situation such as you experience is that a guru does not know all the answers. A guru can be your anchor and can help you to learn certain lessons and give you certain wisdoms that you wish to take on. The reason that they are able to get through to you is because you are open to what they are teaching you. To rely on them as the be-all and end-all and the anchor that is so good to have that you need. One of the problems with this and one of the lessons to learn is that there is other knowledge, other wisdom that are there for you to move into. When one guru leaves, another door will open, and will open the treasure chest of further knowledge and make you stronger as you come through your disappointment, that you, your own self, can be strong and can be an anchor within yourself and a source for others.
Thank you. This is a question from Julianne. We don't have her city, but it's kind of a general question. It's a question on economics. And I think she's assuming a certain expertise of economics from the Elohim. But nonetheless, I'll ask the question, because the important aspect is this potential for an economic collapse and how to deal with it, which I think is in the back of many people's minds. Please ask the Elohim or Ra this question. It is very important to the livelihoods of every person in the United States. It will also affect the rest of the world. I am a financial analyst, and I have been researching and listening to very credible and educated economists and bankers. It is believed that the U.S. dollar is headed for a complete crash. I'm not talking about a crash like we had, which caused the Depression in 1929, but a significant devaluation of the U.S. petrodollar, which will wipe out life as we know it in the U.S. It is estimated to hit sometime in 2014. The people on top who have orchestrated and caused this for 100 plus years have seen this coming and secured their assets, but the everyday citizens have their eyes closed and do not expect anything to happen. Can you please ask the Elohim, when they see this happening, is there anything the average citizens can do to stop this? And what should we do to protect ourselves?
Thank you.
Please ask. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, she just said, please ask the Elohim to send God's light to all people in this country and protect them.
Thank you. We are doing as a result of your question and your request. We see that a system that has such faults as the monetary system and the way that money is set up to be handled eventually will be diluted and diluted and diluted until there is a very thin value available with money. It can crash sometime in this year. However, realize that the powers that be have the ability to string it on and string it on as they can manufacture more and more money and hope that something will intervene in the meantime, such as they may be able or may try to create warlike situations, which puts the whole economic scene out of the sight, as people tend to deal with something more priority of a war issue. So there is the ability to string it out and intercede with other things that take people's attention off what is happening with the economic system. When an economic system is based upon faulty premises, it can and will eventually go down one way or another. We see that what is needed on the other side of that is a system that is sound, which the powers that be have, some of them have tried to put something in place which would sustain the society. For instance, Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, decided to put money, to make money, without a big debt attached to it. However, the powers beyond that did not wish that to happen and did not let it happen. in history, in the history of your country, it has happened a few times that there has been a president that has tried to correct the situation, and they had stopped from correcting the situation. The situation, were it to be corrected, would right the economic system. That is their answer.
Thank you. Next question from Edna. I have been dreaming every night and seem not to be able to interpret my dreams. If I ask the sources to be more specific on the messages they are sending to me, now let me say, Edna is assuming dreams are from our sources, and that may or may not be true, but we'll let that stand there. Would they help me to better understand? I know that dreams are messages to me, since I've been asking to be shown the way and what I need to know in my dreams. I really want to understand what my dream messages are telling me.
Thank you. We see different dream messages that are coming from different sources. There is the dream message that you get, say, if something happened during the day and it concerns another person, and there is the dream message from your own subconscious letting you know that there are ways to work it through and presenting situations in your dream that you work through and get some of the learning that you need to be able to handle the real life situation. There are dreams that come as from an aside source where there is a news item or something that catches your mind, and you tend to work that through. There are shared dreams where another has the dream and is in your dream also, and you have the same dream. As one learns more about dreams, you can find the different types of dreams that you can have. They do not all come from sources, such as the Elohim, us, and the Ra Rupa. They come from different means, including shared dreams coming from another person. So when you wake up in the morning, get a dream journal and write it down before you're totally awake. And then notice the patterns and relate it to things that may have happened during the day, things that you may be working through your own self. Extraordinary wisdoms coming through from the higher groups. To find out more about your dreams, do not assume they are all from the higher level.
This is a sub-question for me. I have heard that sometimes people have dreams because they can work out certain karmic patterns in their dreams. And if they do that, they won't have to work it out in the world. And if that's, can you comment on the truth of that? And second of all, if that's true, do you have to remember the dreams for it to be valid? Or does it work without the memory of the dreams?
Thank you. It is true. And you do not need to remember the dreams for it to work out your karma. You might forget the dream when you wake up, but yet it may have had lessons in the dream, which you are acting out in the dream, that gives you different ways of handling a karmic situation.
Thank you. Next question. I wanted to make a comment to Julianne, and that is, she has a question about the economy. I would suggest prepare yourself as if something is going to happen, but don't make that a mantra for it to happen. In other words, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And each of us has something we can do to prepare for a worst-case scenario. It's nothing less. Start making connections with people. Build community. I've said this before, but build people that you have a connection with. Because if suddenly a worst-case scenario happens, and there's no food, there's no gas, it's not sure how people are going to respond to that. And people may respond to it by shutting their doors to others and just saying, we've got it covered and anyone else is going to be a threat. But now there's still time before that energy comes in. And however you do it, whether it's going to a local church, whether it's having neighborhood meetings, and whatever, to just in case. So if you're in an emergency situation, you now have a group of people who can give support to each other and help each other stay out of fear. And let's see here, next question.
That is a good point. When you have a strong community with people that you care for in your neighborhood, when there is strength there, it fortifies your whole life.
And, you know, just to give a little plug here for Team Shift, we have a little program where we put people together, and we thank Edna so much, Edna, who asked the question on dreams tonight, for being the backbone for this program and helping work it with such care, because what she's doing is putting people together who get on a phone line every day and call in the light, and a small group, keeping it like five or six people, four people, so people get to know each other. They get to have friends. They get to build community. Now, it's not quite as safe as building a community on your block, because those people can't run and help you. But if something really happened, you built energy with people and built true friendships with people, and, you know, then people could support each other. You'd have cities to go to in the event of an emergency. You'd have a couch to sleep on in case your city got an earthquake or something. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it gives you, you know, if you don't have family, if you don't have close friends, if you don't have a local church, it gives you something to depend on. And it is 7:56. We did have some more questions. We had a question from Miranda. And Miranda, ask your question again. And we had a question from Dave F., Dave Ferringer in World City. Dave, ask your question again. And thank you all for asking your questions. You know, those of you who are asking questions, the answers many people are benefiting from. In some cases, it may be the wrong answer for them, so you have to use your discernment. But there's many things which are, we're going through similar issues, similar challenges, and so Thank you for asking, and I hope you will, all of you will, who haven't asked, will take advantage of this opportunity. And there's a huge fringe benefit in asking these questions. And that is that when they come to look at you, which they say they do, and look into your field, it makes a track of energy between you and them, and that it makes it easier to connect with the energy of the higher sources when you ask the question. That's their answer to it, so just pass it on. And keep in mind, this is listener-supported cosmic radio, and we have donations.intelligence-infinity.com. If you would like, we actually pay to be on the internet. We pay for all the emails we send you. And if you're being touched and moved, even a little bit of support, not only is it meaningful to us, but it's meaningful to you because it puts your energy supporting something which is supporting you. And it just strengthens the connection. So on that note, we are going to, let's see here, wish you all a good night. We did fairly good. You know, we're urban gypsies now. And sorry for the interruption and the slightly slow start. And if you've never checked out our Sunday morning call at 10 a.m., please do. It's always our most well-attended call, most high energy of all our calls. And I think you'll be glad you did. On that note, I'm going to unmute everybody. And
amazing.
I don't hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, Wynn.
The conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you.
If Julianne is out listening,
thank you, everybody.
Read the economic call. You should check out what they did in the country of Iceland. They had the same derivative scam there. Check it out, what they did.
Yeah.
There's also some good documentaries on the, you can get it from your libraries, like Heist, Inside Job, Too Big to Fail. There's some good things you can check out.
You know, another one that I would recommend, Don, if you have an opportunity, look into the work of Michael Tellinger.
I know him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. I heard, because Wynn and Terry had lunch with him, and they said something about he was running for president. Is that?
Yeah.
South Africa.
Yeah.
South Africa.
Yeah. And he was trying to do something to get rid of money in his economic system or something.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Well, people don't realize that thousands and thousands of years.